In Randolph County and from miles around, everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ram Sparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1-2-3-0.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know. You're welcome on WHCO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good morning. A little bit chilly this morning out there. Talking this morning with 116th District State Representative David Freese. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
As I said, a pretty cold morning out there.
It's a little chilly. My truck didn't really hesitated to start today.
So Representative Freese, I guess we'll start out here. You're officially now through your first year in office.
Yes. It's been interesting, obviously, because of COVID. Came in, instead of being in Springfield every day for committee hearings and things of that nature, everything was done via Zoom, which sort of kind of hurt the relationships that, you know, representatives build amongst each other, amongst, you know, on both mm-hmm. sides. Even my Republican colleagues, you know, I saw them on Zoom as opposed to being in person in Springfield, which is everybody says 2022 is going to be better, and here we are. We had our first day of session Wednesday. We punched in, got a couple things done, and went home, although it was late. And we were supposed to be back next week, but they've mm-hmm. already canceled next week.
So kind of a continuation here. We're still, I guess, you know, I mean, of course, the Omicron variant now, so.
Yeah, the saga continues.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, we got a commercial break. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick here, and we'll come back and continue our conversation. You're listening to The People Speak here on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. 9:34, welcome back. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff, talking with Representative David Freese. We're talking about your first year, and obviously, as you said, you know, filled with coronavirus, COVID issues and whatever, which we're still involved in. But
yes, unfortunately.
You know, hopefully at some point here in the near future, you know, we'll get through this or whatever, and it'll either become something we just live with or we just kind of deal with it.
Yeah, I anticipate it's going to be something that we live with, mm-hmm. like the flu.
Right, exactly. So talking about different things, one thing I noticed, you were talking about judicial sub-circuits. Now, I know we heard about the redistricting for the representatives, like your district and everything like that. This is judicial related, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So what happened, and actually this took place Wednesday, and for the audience that may not know, in my day job, I'm an attorney, and prior to practicing in Redbud, Illinois, a large part of my practice was actually in Madison County and St. Clair County, and those two districts were considered judicial hellholes. Okay, give everybody an understanding of what we're talking about here. And because of that, Madison County, the citizens, they finally got tired of it, and they have recently elected some Republican judges. Okay, mm-hmm. And obviously the Democrats are not happy with that. So their means and way to address and control and hang on to power in every branch of government is to form these sub-circuits within the circuits themselves. So what they do is they look at the voting population. Everybody's got census data now. Everybody knows how everybody votes. And they look at it, and they form sub-circuits within the circuits to try and get a Democrat judge elected. And if you get a Democrat judge elected, then that person will rule in favor, theoretically, in favor of Pritzker or, you know, Democrat ideals, or maybe not be as strong on law enforcement as a Republican may be.
Right. So so it's kind of like the talk, you know, of the redistricting, you know, I mean, trying to, you know, manipulate it around to where you one party has control over the
right. Yeah,
know, has an advantage, I guess.
Exactly. And that's it's all to because they're in power. It's a means by which to control and hang on to power. When we were there in spring, I actually listened to the committee hearings on this the day as well. And their big selling point was, well, we need diversity within the judicial system. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, if that was the case, what would you would do if, and you're going to form these sub-circuits, is you would look at the population, and we can use St. Clair as an example. Mm-hmm. Okay, St. Clair has a minority population of almost 40%. Guess how many sub-circuits they have within the 20th Judicial Circuit, which is St. Clair County? Zero. Okay, so if they truly wanted diversity within the judicial circuit, within the 20th Judicial Circuit, they could have formed a sub-circuit within St. Clair County, mm-hmm. predominantly minority-based, and they could have, theoretically, more minority judges than they have now. At any given time in St. Clair County, they've got 2 to 4 minority judges. They've controlled St. Clair County forever, the Democrats have. If they wanted more minorities on the bench, they easily could have done it.
Right. And talking about the redistricting while we do that, how did that all end up as far as like the 116th? I know there was some changes in it.
Right. So the 116th right now, all of Monroe, all of Randolph, part of Perry, part of St. Clair, it's going to go from the 116th to the 115th. It's still going to be all of Monroe, all of Randolph. They expanded the footprint in St. Clair County. It took me down to Jackson County. I'm going to go all the way into Murfreesboro, but not all the way into Carbondale. And I think I got a little bit of Washington County as well.
Okay. So, actually, a little bit larger area, incorporating, you know, a few more counties in there as well.
Correct,
so,
yeah.
So, what's your thoughts on it as far as how do you...
Well, my thoughts in the big picture is, as far as redistricting, it really does need to be taken out of the hands of the politicians. Mm-hmm. Neither party should draw boundaries to either favor themselves or hurt their opponent. Mm-hmm. It should be as nonpartisan as possible, an independent commission, whatever. That being said, my district is going to be, you know, red. You know, they took what little of St. Clair I had. And they're going to give it to the Metro East politicians. They're going to chop it up and either give it to Greenwood or Hoffman up there. And New Athens was red, and I think I picked up Dupo and a couple other, you know, smaller places that may have traditionally voted Democrat. But I think it's changing up in that mm-hmm. area as well. But if your question is, did it hurt me or help me, it probably helped me.
Okay. Yeah, I know congressionally there's kind of some questions on that, how that's going to turn out, but that's another area that we don't want to get into here. But I guess let me jump back to COVID a little bit here. I mean, the governor continues to hand out his mandates. A lot of controversy among, you know, businesses as far as, you know, do we have to do this or is this required? Why is, you know, it just a lot of confusion in it.
Yeah, and I blame that on the governor himself, because one of the things that he could have and should have done is he could have come to the state legislature, which is, I think, what he should have done, instead of re-implementing every 28, 30 days a new emergency executive order. Mm-hmm. He's not the only one with ideas on how to handle this. And I think a good example is he's up in Chicago. I really think that the opinions and edicts that he sends down are based on what is best for Chicago or what is influencing him in Chicago. Mm-hmm. In downstate rural Southern Illinois, you know, we don't have people living on top of people like we do in Chicago. So I think we can do things differently. I think we should do things differently.
Right. You know, and there's questions even, you know, his authority. You mentioned, you know, every 30 days or whatever, you know, I mean, is that actually permissible for him to do that? I mean, is he able to, under the state constitution, be able to do that?
I don't believe that he is. And I think that's one of the things why they want to do these judicial sub-circuits. Mm-hmm. You know, well, because we've got judges down here that are ruling against him on some matters. Well, if you've got a Democrat judge in there, you know, theoretically that person may rule, and they're not supposed to. They're just supposed to, you know, they gather the facts and apply the facts to the law, you know, and, right. and you know, but that we know that that doesn't happen.
Unbiased opinion, right?
Yes, yeah.
All right, I'll tell you what, we got another commercial break here. We'll go ahead and throw that in real quick, and we'll come back and talk some more with Representative Freeze here on the People Speak right after this. And welcome back. And this is the People Speak. I'm Jeff, talking with Representative David Freeze here this morning. And see, we've talked about several things. Obviously, the beginning of the year, end of your first year in office, and that. Let's see. I think you mentioned, but when is the legislature due to go back into session?
Well, we're supposed to go back next week, but they've canceled next week's session due to COVID. So hopefully we'll be back the following week.
Okay, so some of the topics you expect to be, I guess, front and foremost in it?
Criminal justice reform is always a hot topic of discussion, especially given, you know, if anybody watches the news, what's going on in Chicago and some of these other, you know, big cities. You know, I know they've, here in Illinois, this was prior to me getting in, they did this, the veto session before I got in. You know, they did away with a lot of bail, you know, just all kinds of criminal justice reform that in my mind really sort of kind of hurt policing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got bad actors and they know they're not going to get punished, there's no consequence for their bad behavior. There's no incentive for them to correct their bad behavior.
Right. Yeah, I've said for years, I mean, if you look at the judicial system and the, I guess, the correctional system in like 20, 30 years ago compared to now, is there really any incentive to not, you know, become, you know, a recidivist, you know?
Right. And I think, unfortunately, what happens is you've got a couple incidents where you've got 99.9% of our police officers are good, outstanding citizens. Mm-hmm. They do a phenomenal job. You've got, you know, one or two bad actors. They get all the press, all the media attention, and then you've got a group, for whatever reason, they want to make reforms based on those one or two bad actors. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's warranted. So I really hope that we can, you know, rein some of this, you know, criminal justice reform back. I talked to some people actually doing the courthouse yesterday. Bail is one of the biggest incentives. You know, you post a bail, you come back because you gotta get the guys back mm-hmm. into court. And if there's no bail, a lot of times there's no incentive for them to come back in court for the next hearing.
Right. You know, I'm not going to lose anything over it, any money or whatever. So why should I?
Yep. And there's an incentive to not lock people up either in jail or in prison mm-hmm. For certain offenses. You know, they're reducing what yesterday was a major offense now is a minor offense, mm-hmm. And they really need to.
Well, if you look at California, I mean, the smash and grabs and stuff that they've got going on out there because of the changes that have been made in the judicial system.
Yeah, and I'm so as a state rep, obviously, I socialize with some reps that are up in the Chicago area, and talking to some of the people that actually have offices in downtown Chicago, their clients don't want to go downtown right now, mm-hmm. And that's sad. You know, I went to school at John Marshall downtown Chicago. At that time, I would get off the train. I lived in the burbs. I get off the train. I walk to school. Walk back at night, you know, my wife was like, are you scared? No. And now, at that time, I had no problems, didn't have fear one walking mm-hmm. downtown Chicago. You know, and talking to people today, there's a concern. And that's a, whatever you say about Chicago, I know we don't like their politics, but it's a great place, you know, and you should be able to walk down the sidewalks of Chicago and not fear about getting mugged or shot.
Mm-hmm. I know we've had several law enforcement officers recently that were killed in the line of duty.
Tragedy.
A lot of this, I wonder, you know, because, well, my background, I've got a degree in law enforcement, and I've worked in it for a little while, and you wonder how much of it is before, you know, the officer knew what had to be done in certain situations. Now you've got them second guessing. It's like, well, should I do I do this or what? You know, am I
right? And what I've heard, I was talking to some law enforcement officers, and what is probably going to happen is law enforcement officers are going to delay their response getting to an incident because they don't want to be get in the middle of it anymore. They're mm-hmm. going to wait until it plays out. And unfortunately, you're probably going to have somebody either, you know, get killed or seriously hurt. And then the police officer is going to make a report, file it, and go on his way.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, before that officer would rush to the scene and try and intervene and maybe save somebody's life or keep somebody from getting harmed. And because of the political climate today, they put a tremendous amount of pressure on these officers. And they are in a no-win situation.
Right. And that, you know, and that's not a situation you want to put the people that are out there sworn to protect the citizens of the state.
Absolutely not. And especially for the amount of money they get paid. I mean, they're not getting rich by any stretch of the imagination.
Exactly. I noticed one thing that's in the news here lately, and then now we're kind of going back to COVID again, but is the Chicago Teachers Union and that, and schools and remote learning.
Yeah. My wife's a school teacher, remote learning. It's an unfortunate necessity at times, okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, having talked to my wife, having talked to superintendents, teachers, it is not ideal for any for the kids. They really should be in school, and I'll give a shout-out to John Tallman. He's a superintendent in Redbud. He's done everything he can to keep Redbud schools in-person learning from the very beginning.
Right. You know, having been a kid at one time,
you know, many years ago,
if you're sitting in there and you don't have direct supervision over you, you know, you're not, you know, you have a tendency to maybe not put as much into it, or you know, it's like, yeah, I'm logged on. That doesn't mean I'm doing anything, but I'm logged on, you know.
So. Yeah. And the other problem is a lot of people aren't thinking about this is, you know, if my wife wasn't a school teacher, she's got some other job 9 to 5 and I work. Now we've got two young kids at home that need adult supervision, and they're supposed to log on to a computer. So one of us is going to have to take off work to make mm-hmm. sure that our children are in front of a computer. It's a horrible situation.
Right. Another thing, the year here, a bunch of new laws took effect. I looked through the list of them, and I mean, it's a pretty extensive list, but any of them that's like stand out?
Obviously the redistricting,
mm-hmm.
you know, not only for the sub-circuits that we talked about in the court systems, but the circuits as a whole, you know, the districts. One of the things I want to mention, you know, we're going to be down a congressional seat this year, you know, because of our depopulation, mm-hmm. okay? And I know a lot of people have talked about that, but no one talks about why we're depopulating. I think everybody knows it, but nobody wants to say it. It's taxes and the unfriendly business climate that our state is putting on us. And that is one of the things that I think that we really need to change. We really need to get our spending under control, get our pensions under control. You know, Moody's last year, March of last year, said our pensions were $317 billion unfunded. You know, at some point in time, that bill's got to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And how does the state pay that? The state doesn't make money. It takes money from you and me and everybody else that pays taxes in the state. So we've really got to reform some things. One of the bills that I put forward is to transition the state out of its current pension system and transition to a 401k type pension system.
Mm-hmm.
That way the state can't, you know, come in and raid the pension fund and borrow against it or do whatever, you know, other nefarious things that our government likes to do.
Right. Well, that's like, you know, like with a 401k or an IRA or something. You know, I mean, you or I can't go out and just borrow off of that like on a regular basis and take money out of it until we get to the retirement age, you know, without having to pay some kind of penalty.
Correct.
But the state is able to, you know, basically raid the retirement fund without any penalty.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and I know governors have done that. They have a term for it. They sweep that fund, you know, whether it's DNR, the pension fund, you know, that those shenanigans really should stop. And I think if they've transitioned to a 401k type system, it would benefit everybody, even the employees.
Right. Got just a little bit of time left, about a minute here, but as far as if anyone, you know, wanted to get in contact with you, or if they had, you know, some thoughts or needed some help with something or whatever.
They can reach out. Facebook. I've got a Facebook. State Representative David Freeze. I've got a website, repfreeze.com. And I'm embarrassed to say I don't have my office number memorized, but you know, it's in my phone, just like everybody else's phone number.
Right.
Now. We don't memorize phone numbers, but yeah, you can just search me on any search engine, and I'll pop up. Just reach out, and I try and get back to everybody as soon as possible. I don't always succeed, but I do my best.
Right. Well, I mean, you got a pretty good sized district and a lot of people. It'd be kind of hard to, Representative, thanks for being with us today, and we look forward to talking to you.
I enjoy it. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Well, keep us up to date on what's going on in Springfield.
Yeah. Hopefully next time I have better news to report on this COVID situation.
I hope so. Enough of the bad news, right?
Yes.
All right. That will wrap things up here. Representative David Freeze with us today. We will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend.